Andy, can you hear me?
Yep.
Great. Andy Mitz from Rock Chalk Talk, Kansas SB Nation site, joins me today. Andy, how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. How long have you been writing about and covering Kansas?
I've been writing for Rock Chalk Talk for, probably 5 or 6 years now. I actually started over there. I was just a random reader that decided to jump on and help do the news and notes when our old site manager wasn't able to do it over the summer. And it just kind of stuck with me. And, you know, I love to talk about the Jayhawks anyway with everyone I know. So it was just kind of a natural extension to jump in and start writing about them all. So.
Yeah, I think that's what happens for a lot of people. If you're not, you know, using it for work or to boost your resume, sometimes, you know, it's just nice to be able to have an opportunity to talk about something you love and write about something you love.
Definitely.
So, talking about Kansas football, Jayhawks, 1-10, only win was the season over against Southeast Missouri. Tell me, how do fans feel? Obviously, they're not, you know, not happy about the season, but how are fans feeling about the program this year?
This season's been extremely rough. You know, we came into the year obviously realizing that David Beatty had not done very much. But given the situation that he had taken over when he first came to KU, there wasn't a lot of expectations on him. I think the best way to describe it was that he expectations fan had for this year were self-inflicted. Beatty, you know, very publicly stated that we should start to see results on the field in wins and losses by his third year. There are quite a few people that think that maybe that was a little, you know, too ambitious of a time frame, but most people are also of the opinion that if you're going to promise something, you know, in that kind of time frame, you better be able to deliver. And giving us excuses later after the fact of why you weren't able to do it just doesn't really work for a lot of people. But coming into the year, you know, seeing who we had on the defense, three real standout guys on defense, and Dorrance Armstrong, Daniel Wise, and Joe Dineen, who was coming back from an injury last year. We had a few standouts in a few games last year. Mike Lee in the secondary is really the only returning guy that we had beginning of the year. But, you know, he had put on such a big show in our upset win over Texas that people thought he was going to be able to build on that coming into the year. So, you know, we had some good pieces on a semi-decent defense. It really was kind of hamstrung by an offense that couldn't really do anything. We had a transfer in Peyton Bender coming in who was familiar with the air raid system that Beatty is trying to run. And then Doug Meacham, an air raid quarterback coming from air raid offensive coordinator coming from TCU. So the thought was, you know, we had the offensive pieces coming in that we're going to be able to improve the offense, and with a defense that would probably be maybe a small step back in the secondary, but other than that, much stronger than they were the previous year. The thought was that, you know, Kansas could win, you know, maybe 4 games. If they got lucky enough to someone, you know, maybe 5 or you know, heaven forbid, sneak in and get 6 wins and potentially be bowl eligible. But that was kind of, you know, like the best-case scenario. And obviously we've had completely the opposite. They were just completely outclassed against Central Michigan, didn't really put up a fight against Ohio, and really haven't put up a fight other than against K-State for whatever reason since then. So it's been really rough as a Kansas fan. It's been really hard to week in and week out root for this team. I actually run the podcast for our site over there at Rock Chalk Talk. You know, and it's interesting trying to find something new to talk about every week as the team sinks lower and lower. And it's just harder and harder to find, you know, something positive to say because, you know, you really don't want to have the same, you know, rant every week about how bad the team is and how we need to change, change at the head coaching position or the athletic director or anything like that. But surprisingly, Kansas has been able to give us new stories, new ways to talk about, you know, just how the team is failing. This last week against Baker Mayfield and Oklahoma, you know, the non-handshake at the beginning of the year or at the beginning of the game, you know, was just, I'm not even sure why they did it. Like, they gave a reason for it, but it made absolutely no sense. So, you know, just kind of seeing something new every week has made it a very disheartening spiral down to the very bottom of college football. So sorry for the long-winded answer, but, you know, it's just there's just so much there to unpack. It's kind of hard to get it nice and succinct for you.
I understand. Man, we have a hard time just having lost three games when we shouldn't have lost that many. I can't imagine going through a 1-10, potentially 1-11 season.
Yeah.
In a year where I think everyone thought Kansas might take a slight step forward. I could have seen them winning their three, you know, non-conference games and then maybe sneaking a Big 12 game over somebody. But, I mean, in defense, how much do you think, non-conference aside, the Big 12 has been really competitive this year. Obviously, Iowa State's taken a huge step forward. I know Baylor's not great, but they still have athletes. And it seems like the conference middle up has been better this year than maybe we thought it would be. Do you think that has played a lot into Kansas's troubles, or is it just or is it more Kansas itself?
Yeah, I mean, I want to say that it's the conference, but to be honest, that would just be kidding myself. I mean, if Kansas had at least been competitive in their two MAC games against Central Michigan and Ohio, then I could, you know, reasonably say that the conference has just been a whole lot better, and there's, you know, there's no way Kansas is clearly better than anybody in the conference. You know, and so it's not, it's understandable they don't have a conference win, but they were completely demolished by Central Michigan. I mean, that game ended up a lot closer than it was throughout the game, and it wasn't even really that close of a game for the final score. And they went out to Ohio and just got completely embarrassed. You know, I would have been okay, and I probably would have been somewhat encouraged by, you know, even if it was a close win against Central Michigan and then a decently competitive loss against Ohio, because it was that one was on the road, that I think we could have, you know, kind of kidded ourselves about the fact that maybe this team is better than we think and has just ran into some bad luck. But then the fact, you know, to go out and get completely blanked by Iowa State and TCU, to not really be competitive in any of the games that they had. They were surprisingly competitive against West Virginia, but even that game, it was like, I believe it was like 56-38 or something like that. The defense just gave up, you know, way, way too many points. And really, I think the part that was most frustrating about it is the parts of the team that we thought were going to be good this year in defense and then, you know, like a decent offense and at least a passable special team, they've all been worse. Like every single unit has been worse than we expected coming in. The defense has found their footing recently. But before, you know, these last two or three weeks, they haven't been able to stop anybody at any point. They actually played decently well against Oklahoma in the first half. I mean, the score was only 14-7 with about a minute and a half left in the first half. And, you know, one touchdown that Oklahoma got was a 4th-and-3 broken play where everybody just all of a sudden decided to stop following the receivers when Baker Mayfield rolled out over to the right side, and he found a guy that could just pick his way to the end zone. And then the other one came off of a really bad interception that basically gave Oklahoma, I believe it was like a 15 yards to go for the touchdown. So the defense had not played poorly in the first half until all of a sudden they started, you know, getting penalties like crazy. For that last drive, Oklahoma went down, got a quick score, and then they just never looked back in the second half. It was just a really bad overall performance. When you look at the total stat line, the defense has at least shown flashes in the last couple games. The problem, of course, being, you know, that most of the guys doing it are upperclassmen, and so it's not like we're going to have them around to help with the rebuild that we have coming up. So, yeah, there's really not a lot of optimism at this point that, you know, that this team really is better than their record shows, just because of how poorly they played in pretty much the entire season. And even that first win that they had against Southeast Missouri State, you know, Southeast Missouri State is a very, you know, bottom-of-the-barrel, essentially, FCS team. And so, you know, the fact that they barely won that game was a lot more competitive than it really should have been. So that in of itself was kind of, you know, setting off all the alarm bells at the beginning, and we had talked ourselves into, well, maybe it's not as bad as we thought, and they'll, you know, come out and win against Central Michigan or things like that. And the wheels have just fallen off completely since that first game even.
Well, all the negativity aside, I mean, as an OSU fan right now, we're all feeling a little negative. Lost to Kansas State in a game we shouldn't have lost. We've allowed some quarterbacks and players to put up yards and point on us, that it's a little bit surprising with the way our defense is playing. Who for he's being a little optimistic. Who for Kansas is playing well and could maybe do something against OSU this Saturday?
Yeah, so I think the main area to look at would be on the defensive side of the ball. Joe Dineen and his fellow front seven on the defense, and Daniel Wise and then Dorrance Armstrong, you know, they were all expected to be really good coming into the year, and for the most part, they've lived up to that. Armstrong hasn't gotten the sack numbers that we were quite expecting, but I think a lot of that really has to do with the fact that we've just had really poor scheming on the defense. Joe Dineen, I believe it's still true at this point that he is leading the nation in solo tackles. You know, he's just been everywhere making plays all over the place. He's really the only consistent bright spot we've had on this entire team. I'm expecting him to make some big plays. Really, just the question is it going to be enough to keep the game even remotely competitive? I could see Dorrance Armstrong getting a few sacks, and if they come at the right time, that could potentially lead to a big swing in momentum. In terms of the offense, because I think that's really what's going to come down to, is if our can get anything going. The two guys to watch out for would be Khalil Herbert at the running back position. He's been able to get some good games. He had over 250 yards rushing against West Virginia. Just a phenomenal game there. The real issue that we've had is just getting an offensive line to consistently open up holes for him. But even in the last few games, he's been able to get some good yardage here and there. I expect him to be able to get at least a couple plays where he breaks a big run that could, you know, potentially give us a little bit of momentum. The other guy to watch out for would be Steven Sims, Jr., really speedy wide receiver. He's far and away the best receiver that we have. Again, the real issue, though, that we have is that our quarterbacks can't get the protection from the line, and they haven't really been the best at making decisions to get the ball to guys that can actually do something with it. So the other thing is that Steven Sims is our returner. So he returns kicks. He's had a few muffed kicks or punts that have given us some problems. So hopefully we get to the point where he can just, you know, not have to deal with those and can get a ball and just turn it up and get a nice long score to keep us in the game. But so if there is going to be a big play, I would expect it to come from one of those guys.
I remember the name Steven Sims and seeing him coming into the season as one of what I thought would be one of the best wide receivers in the Big 12. I think he's played well. Obviously, as a wide receiver, you can only be as good as your quarterback. I haven't followed Kansas closely enough. I know that Peyton Bender started the season, and I think Carter Stanley is the one starting now.
Correct.
Was the switch due to an injury, or was it just the coaching decision?
No, it was just incompetence. Honestly, Peyton Bender, halfway through the season when they made the switch, he had 9 interceptions on the year and only 8 touchdowns. He's been very, really poor with his decision making. He has the arm strength that you want out of a quarterback, especially in the air raid, but he's not mobile at all. And with an offensive line as porous as ours has been, he just hasn't had an opportunity to get set. He hasn't had a pocket to work with to really get him in the position he needs to make the throw. And jumping back to Sims really quick, you know, I honestly think that he probably is one of, you know, the top 3 or 5 wide receivers in the Big 12. He just hasn't been able to show it, because he doesn't have a quarterback that can get him the ball. And obviously yards, you know, and touchdowns are pretty much everything when you're evaluating a wide receiver. And unfortunately, a lot of that's out of his control, because he doesn't have a guy that can get the ball to him. Or when they do get the ball to him, it's you know, right there at the line. So, it's unfortunate for him. The switch that we made at quarterback to Carter Stanley, you know, he is the quarterback that led us to that upset against Texas. And he had a brilliant drive last year to end that game to get us down. Interestingly enough, though, he almost actually threw a pick in the end zone at the end of that game that wouldn't have given us the opportunity to tie it and go into overtime. So Carter Stanley has had some issues with his own decision-making. His arm strength is not where you want it to be. Especially for a guy, you know, who's going to need to throw it as much as you need to in the air raid. But he does have the legs to kind of get around and extend plays and maybe take off and run if he needs to. So he's definitely more versatile in terms of the way that our offensive line is set up, the way that our offense is actually running right now. And we've started to see Doug Meacham kind of adjust things to try to take advantage of more of that talent that he has. The main issue he has is just his decision-making isn't very good compared to some of the other guys we've had. There's way too many times where he tries to throw back across his body and fit it into a window that just isn't there. A lot of times where he's trying to make a play, knows we need a big play, and just forces it when he could be throwing it out of bounds instead. So we don't really have a good quarterback on the roster that we can consistently count on to get the to get the ball to the playmakers. And until that happens, or until we get the line settled down, I'm just not seeing them really being able to get that going. And obviously, with only one game left this season, we have a little bit of time to think about that and what they can do. But the hope up here in Lawrence and for all the KU fans is that we can get some significant changes. We actually on Rock Chalk Talk have been running the campaign for the most part to oust the AD that we have, Shane Zinger. He's actually hired now two different football coaches. This will be his third coach that he's fired when Beatty finally ends up getting fired. Because I don't know if it's gonna be this year or next year, but our general consensus is that it should be this year. And so we're really looking for something new. I'm not sure if that's gonna happen with our chancellor being brand new to the position. There's a big fundraising campaign going on right now. So, the hope that we have is that we can get some significant changes and that next year we can actually have some real optimism. But just given the state of the program right now and the fact that there haven't been any really strong statements about how unacceptable the performance we have from our football team has been, there's not really a lot of hope that that's actually going to happen.
I've been thinking to ask this question ever since I talked to Melissa Treadwasser from the TCUSB Nation site.
Right.
And I thought in the offseason it was really interesting that you guys, that Doug Meacham left TCU to go to Kansas. And what she basically said was that Doug Meacham was going to get run out of town. And if you've seen, you looked at TCU last year, the offense wasn't great. And obviously it's been a lot better. Kenny Hill's looked better this year. What do you guys think of Doug Meacham? Because as OSU fans, for a while there, we thought we should have hired him as our offensive coordinator when we hired Mike Yurcich, who's in now. What do you guys think of Meacham so far?
To be honest, it's hard to really evaluate Meacham. And the reason I say that is because Beatty has a history of taking things over or inserting himself into decisions of his assistant coaches. Last year he had, actually before last season, he hired Cal Likens off of Likens off of Cal's, offensive staff, brought him in as the offensive coordinator. And I completely forgot his first name, but that's all right. Brought him in as the offensive coordinator. And then by game two, Beatty had taken over the play calling duties. And so it's like you brought in an offensive coordinator, wanted him to run the system, but then you take away his main job immediately after he gets here. There was a lot of concern that we were going to have the same sort of thing going on with Meacham, and at least in terms of what we can tell on the sidelines during the game, Meacham has been allowed to run the offense, like calling plays. But there was a big, there was some controversy at the beginning of the year. When we couldn't name a starting quarterback until after, week one, that part of the reason of that was potentially there was some internal disagreement about who that quarterback should be. The thought was that Beatty really wanted Peyton Bender to be the quarterback because he can run that more traditional air raid type of offense. But Meacham is well known for liking guys that have that have the legs, can get out, can be flexible, can make those sorts of plays. And so if Carter Stanley kind of fits the mold of the type of player that he typically likes. And so the general consensus among people was that he probably was leaning more towards Carter Stanley, and that's why they had such an issue, because there was that internal power struggle between the two. From what I can tell, he at least has the mind for it. He's creative enough. He knows generally enough about it. And what he's doing in calling plays, that if he has enough talent around him to kind of mold and come up with his own game plan, he could be extremely effective at that. He had some success down at TCU. There was some question about the dynamics there before he left. And maybe that's why he actually bolted. It wasn't necessarily that he was performing poorly. There was just a lot going on down there that was causing some division. At least that's a sense that I kind of got. But bring him in. He hasn't had the talent to work with that really allowed him to show what he can do. I like him as the attitude he's put off and what he's been able to do. But we haven't had a chance to fairly evaluate him because he hasn't really been able to input his system, either because of pushback from Beatty or just not having guys that he can really do anything with. So I'm hoping we get another year of him just because I think he has a legitimate shot. I know he kind of wants to hang around so he can show what he can do. We got to have at least a little bit of continuity in the staff, I think. So he's one of the guys that we're okay with at this point. But I really would like an opportunity to see what he is able to do, and I just don't know if that's possible with Beatty still here as the head coach.
So I don't mean it's bad. I know we need to preview the OSU-KU game, but I would like to get your thoughts on, you mentioned earlier, what happened in the OU game with Kansas as captains, who, if I've seen correctly, will not be captains this week.
I had not seen anything about that yet. Not saying it didn't break while I wasn't really paying attention, but I do know for a fact that Baker Mayfield is not going to be a captain, and that has to do with the poor display of sportsmanship he had in terms of grabbing his crotch and yelling at the fans obscenities. So.
Sure.
But no, I hadn't seen a story about the KU captains not being captains, and to be honest, I'm not sure who they would put in as captains instead. I mean, these are the leaders that they have; those are the main guys. But it would definitely. Now that you say that, I'm looking it up, and you're right. I am seeing where they are not going to be captains. Honestly, I think it's deserved because the reason they gave for not doing it was that they were trying to use it as a motivational tactic. And I'm not sure in what world it makes sense that disrespecting an opponent, showing poor sportsmanship, is going to motivate your guys. It's just going to make everybody uncomfortable. If anything, it motivates your opponent more than it motivates your guys. It definitely is not anything that I would support in terms of them ever trying to do it again. And I definitely think that that's a good reaction to it, saying that they should not be the captain. At that point, give someone else an opportunity to kind of show the leadership that we need. So,
the one question I like to ask everybody, and turning back to the game.
Yeah.
So something happens. Kansas comes away winners on Saturday. What did they do in the game to get the win? What did they do successful?
It's really just going to be. The only way that that's going to happen is if it's a really low scoring game. Kansas is going to have to hold Oklahoma State to a very low total. They're going to have to stop them from converting first downs. It's going to have to look a lot like that first half against Oklahoma. They pretty much swallowed up the run. Whenever Oklahoma did get any kind of passing, they were right there to make contact right when the guy caught the ball. So they were only getting, 2 or 3 yards at a time, forced a lot of punts. That's really what's going to have to come down to. But in order to be able to score enough points, I think that they're going to have to get a turnover that either is directly leading to points or, puts them within the 5 yard line so they can just punch it in with Herbert. If we do somehow either pull out the win or make it a close game even, it's going to feature a lot of defensive plays for the Jayhawks. There's just going to be, I would have to say that KU would have to win the turnover margin by at least 3.
Do you have a prediction for the game?
I haven't really thought too much about it yet in terms of, what I think is actually going to happen, but I can't imagine Kansas being able to keep it close. I mean, the most that they've scored recently, they've actually scored a total, I think, of 12 points. I'm sorry, taking out the K-State game. So they have scored 32 points in their last five games. They got shut out by Iowa State, shut out by TCU. They scored 9 against Baylor. They scored they scored 20 against K-State, and then they only scored 3, if I remember correctly, against Oklahoma. So, I mean, it was just – they have not been able to get any kind of offensive push anywhere. And so I am fully expecting them to lose this one. They might score a touchdown, but I'm going to say something along the lines of like 42-7.
42-7, all right. Well, I'll say obviously it's basketball season, so you guys must be, as usual, pretty excited about about that at least.
Yes.
So I fully expect Kansas to win their, 200th straight Big 12 title this year? Is that
it feels like it, doesn't it?
I don't think that's an over-exaggeration. It might be a little bit.
They're going to win. Yeah, they'll get their 200th conference, straight in a row. Yeah. Just 3 more than the number of them that Perry Ellis had, right?
Yes, totally. Yes, correct. Perry Ellis jokes will never get old, no matter what.
Yep.
All right. I think that about sums it up. So thanks for talking to me today, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.